The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who've gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military, and I am on a mission to educate veterans in the job search marketing process. Sit back and enjoy the military transition hot washes and after-action reports of your fellow veterans. You may just learn some lessons that smooth your own transition path.
I would say talk to everyone you can. I would say you cannot meet enough people. We're in the people business. Like everything, just finding a job, finding a career, even just networking. You know, it's about people. It's not about the process. It's not, you know, and you never know where a conversation's going to go. Some conversations may go nowhere, but some conversations may lead to other things. And that's, you'll never know what that opportunity is if you turn it down. And so, like, that's number one, talk to everybody. Number two is use the systems and use the resources that are available. So, you know, if a program is saying, hey, veterans use us, use that program. It's there for you, right? And if you don't use it, if it doesn't fit what you're trying to do, then I understand that. But for the most part, there are people out there like you, Lori, who are trying to help and who are trying to get, you know, the support structure out for veterans to transition correctly. So I would say those are my two big lessons. You know, use what's available to you. Don't turn anything down, and talk to everybody you can.
On today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, I am welcoming Michael Klemmer. Mike retired from the U.S. Army as a logistics officer after just over 20 years. He followed his Army career with a SkillBridge program and then landed a leadership role in contract administration. In August of last year, Mike launched his own coffee brand, Aerial Resupply Coffee, and is documenting this launch on LinkedIn. Mike's here today to talk about both his transition lessons and his entrepreneurship journey, which even if you don't intend to own a business or launch a business from startup, will be inspirational to you. So listen in as Mike talks us through the struggles he had from a shortened transition timeline, as well as his process of launching his own business. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me on the show. You and I have been connected for a long time, but I'm looking forward to finally getting you on the show and hearing your story.
Absolutely. I appreciate you inviting me. And, you know, you and I have been talking for a while now. So it's time to, you know, sit down and tell me how, or we'll talk about how I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the show is all about transition, right? And so I know from being connected to you on LinkedIn for a while, and also the conversations that we've had previously, like, you kind of found some of the transition resources to be lacking for you as an officer. So tell me a little bit about your transition and how that went.
You know, everybody's transition time period, you know, is different for them. And mine, I chose to remain competitive as an Army officer for as long as I could, and then kind of sprung my retirement on my boss a little bit. And so I made a decision on my own to shorten my time window. And so there's, You know, I think the standard wisdom, at least in the Army, is you start retiring about 2 years out. I gave myself a 9-month window to retire. And when I started when I started that retirement process, what was not present was COVID. I thought I was on a pretty good timeline to retire. And when I went through SFL TAP, which is the requirement for everybody to get out of the Army, other services may be different, but it became very clear to me that that program and the subsequent programs that existed were not meant for me. They were meant for, I would probably say, junior enlisted soldiers, junior officers, soldiers who had gone through the who had been in the Army for anywhere between 5 to 10 years and were then looking to get out. They weren't mm-hmm. for end of career type soldiers like myself. And so I didn't have those, I didn't feel like those programs spoke to me. And so I really had to venture out on my own to find programs that I think would help me in my transition.
Where did you go to get some of those resources and what programs did you use?
Well, first of all, I became very active on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn was probably my inroad to a lot of programs and my inroad to learning about those programs. So, you know, in just talks through the transition community and a lot of the resources on LinkedIn and people on LinkedIn, I learned about American Corporate Partners. I learned about SkillBridge. I learned about the Commit Foundation. I learned about Hire Our Heroes. Like, there was a lot of different programs that existed out there that I had no idea. And so what I chose to do was sign up for every single thing I saw. So if I saw it, I signed up for it. And a lot of those programs were great. I loved American Corporate Partners. I loved the Commit Foundation. Absolutely tremendous programs. Hire Heroes was tremendous. Everything worked for me in some capacity. And I took snippets or I took large portions from each one to really kind of get through my transition and be very proactive in my transition so that I wasn't caught behind the power curve or, you know, so I wasn't left without exploring every option available to me, right?
And so, you know, we talk a lot about, and you even said it, you know, a long transition period, like start planning like 18 months, 24 months out. And you kind of deliberately chose to do it within 9 months, right?
So I did.
How did that shortened timeline affect you and your transition? Especially because it was all amidst COVID too, right?
Initially, here's what I thought. I thought, well, I'm going to get out of the military. I'm going to retire from the military. I'm going to use the last 9 months of my career to effectively find a job, interview, and transition out. And that will be it. That's my story. And that's not at all what I thought. And that's not all what happened. You know, really, I think my first indication that that wasn't was going to happen was when I went for a job interview about 6 months before I was supposed to retire. And it was the first interview I'd ever done. And it was horrible. Like on my end, like I didn't do very well.
Right.
And so I realized then that it wasn't going to be as smooth sailing as it was. And then when COVID really hit in March of 2020 and the lockdown started happening and the job market tightened up, I went to my boss and I asked him for an extension. And I said, you know, I need more time to retire because of COVID. And so my retirement date moved by 6 months. And instead of retiring in June, I retired in December. But what I replaced that with was I used that time to find myself a SkillBridge program so that I could start working in the corporate world immediately and start learning that and start connecting and really decompress from the Army. I found my way through and I had to fight my way into an opportunity here in Charlottesville because there were no opportunities for SkillBridge here that would fit me. So I, you know, what I wanted to do when I got out was leave logistics, leave the Army supply side and get into renewable energy. I thought renewable energy was interesting. I liked I liked the way wind energy and solar energy will work. And I was fortunate enough to be introduced to an individual, Ken Young, who was a former Army West Point officer, but he's now the chief operating officer for Apex Clean Energy. And he took a shot on me and brought me on board and allowed me kind of to spend 4 months working for Apex as a SkillBridge intern, which was great. So I learned so much from that, even though I never stayed in the wind industry. Like I learned just how to be in a different place. And that was more beneficial to me than anything else I think I could have had at that time.
Did you also learn from that experience that maybe that's not the direction you wanted to take your career?
A little bit. I think I found myself a little bit out of my depth because that was such a highly technical career field. And I just was not like, I thought when I went in was that I'd be able to find my way in the organization and find a place for myself. And I realized that that's not how companies work. And so it just didn't work. But what it allowed me to do was it allowed me to continue networking, to continue talking to people, and just gave me time to breathe. So, essentially I extended my own retirement by 6 months, but, you know, if I had started 6 months earlier, rather than, you know, intentionally cutting myself shorter, yeah, I probably would have been okay and in a similar position.
And I think it's important to tell those SkillBridge stories that maybe they don't necessarily lead to a job, but they lead to knowledge and a network and skills. And I think that even if you don't end up in the same company where you serve your SkillBridge program, I think it still can add a ton of value to your transition.
I agree with that. I tried to document my journey on SkillBridge on LinkedIn as I went through it. And one of the things that I did was identify that I had some goals myself when I went in, right? Like I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I was only there for 120 days because, you know, of the geographical restrictions of the SkillBridge program with your losing installation. But so for me, it was 120 days and I had 30, 60, 90 and, you know, 120 day goals. I knew though that essentially I was still a free agent. Like even though I was a SkillBridge intern, fellow, however you want to call it, I was still very much able to talk to whoever I wanted to talk to. Because we were in COVID, my SkillBridge was a remote opportunity as well. So like I was kind of on my own anyway. So it worked out for me. I think it was most advantageous and disadvantageous program I could have been at simultaneously, but it worked out really well. And I was able to network and continue meeting people. And that helped me land the job that I am in now.
Yeah, I think those are important stories to tell because I think everyone thinks, okay, I have to pick a SkillBridge in the company where I want to be forever. And I mean, that'd be great if it led to a position, but it doesn't have to. Where do you feel like you struggled the most in your transition? What were some of the most challenging parts for you?
Looking back, I think the most challenging part that I had was decompressing myself from the military. So like the program that I recommend to everyone I talk to, especially senior officers or senior non-commissioned officers who are retiring, is the Commit Foundation. Because the one thing that I learned from that is it had nothing to do, they help you along the way with a lot of different things. But the primary purpose of that is to help you deinstitutionalize yourself. Because I was somebody before I joined the Army. Everybody is somebody before they joined. So who is that person, right? We all know who you are. Like as Major Clemmer, everybody knew who I was, but nobody knew who Mike was because we get so caught up in titles. So that's where I think I struggled the most. And I was still, because I had just come out of a high pressure field grade military job before I retired, like that was my culminating assignment. I was taking that same level of intensity with everything I did. And I quickly realized that people don't operate like that. And so that's one of the things that I had to struggle with too, is slowing myself down and realizing that it was okay, right? That I could still work and still do the things necessary without operating at breakneck speed or thinking other people had to do the same thing.
How did you go through, like, take us through some of the steps that how you decompressed? Like, what are some of the things? Is it just a understanding yourself better? Is it, you know, learning about the environment around you? What are some of the things that you did to go through that decompression?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the Army likes to keep you working at all hours of the day, depending on what the mission is, right? And so when you're finally free to be on your own, where you're not on leave or you're not on terminal leave or you're not where, like you're reconnecting with your family, you're really just trying to find yourself again. Because whereas before you had an identity in the Army or whichever service you are, now it's just you. And so for me, like what I had to do was, you know, like, so I reconnected with my family pretty, you know, that was my priority. And then it was also finding my own kind of rhythm in throughout my day to kind of keep myself going, because I was so used to the structure of the Army. more so from the requirement perspective, that I found myself having to just find out what I like to do and then do those things routinely, yeah. Right? So it wasn't so much, I'd say, like specific steps. It was just like a time-based realization of just, hey, I'm my own person. I can do what I want. And I'm not going to get called by anybody to say, hey, come back. We need you on alert. You're about to jump out of an aircraft. Like, I didn't do it anyway, but you know what I'm saying, right? So yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. It's just nice. It was just nice to know that I was never going to get that phone call and that I was able to just kind of just be me. And I was, you know, back to Mike, not affiliated with the Army.
I think that's important. I think Herb Thompson talks about in his book, like the people that have trouble separating who they are from the military are the ones that struggle the most. And I think spending some time on that, like figuring that out, will help that path be a smoother one in the long run.
Well, and I also think that we tend to, well, I tried to make a very clear delineation between what I did in the Army was important and it was fun and it was exciting, but that is no longer who I am. And so I'm a different person now. I'm the same person, but I'm different, right?
Yeah.
Like I have all that breadth of experience, but I've left that behind. So I've started essentially a new act. I don't like to say, you could say chapter, but I like to look at it as like different acts of your life. So like, this is like act two. So like for me, this is, you know, what am I doing now? And I have that as kind of my foundation.
And the great thing about act two is that it builds on act one, right? And so you take that, you know, you take that knowledge, those skills, and it still is there in act two, but it's a different way of looking at it. So I think that's great. What would you say are some of your biggest lessons that you've learned over, you know, the last year or so that you've been in this process?
I would say talk to everyone you can. I would say, you cannot meet enough people. We're in the people business. Like everything, just finding a job, finding a career, even just networking, you know, it's about people. It's not about the process. It's not, you know, and you never know where a conversation is going to go. Some conversations may go nowhere, but some conversations may lead to other things. And that's, you'll never know what that opportunity is if you turn it down. And so like, that's number one, talk to everybody. Number two is use the systems and use the resources that are available. So, you know, if a program is saying, hey, veterans use us, use that program. It's there for you, right? And if you don't use it, if it doesn't fit what you're trying to do, then I understand that. But for the most part, there are people out there like you, Lori, who are trying to help and who are trying to get, you know, the support structure out for veterans to transition correctly. So I would say those are my two big lessons. You know, use what's available to you. Don't turn anything down and talk to everybody you can.
You know, I think bouncing off of your second one is don't try to do it alone. Like there's no reason to do it alone, right?
Right.
This is a silly analogy, but if I come home and I have 30 bags of groceries and my half family's in the house, why should I carry it in all by myself? We'll go a lot faster. Well, if I get their help, right? So
absolutely.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but I get a sense that you're not necessarily the most extroverted person. You're a little bit more of an introvert. Is that right?
I would say so. Yeah. I would say that I'm not like super outgoing. No, I don't think that at all.
It's not necessarily comfortable for you to go out and meet new people and talk to new people. And that's not something that comes naturally to you, right? So I just want to talk about that. To those introverts out there who say like, I don't want to go meet new people. I don't want to talk to people. Like, how did you get beyond that? You know, this is not comfortable for me. How did you get beyond that as an introverted person to get out and just talk to people?
Some of it came from my experience in the Army in that a soldier is a soldier. So you just can talk to anybody naturally because of your position in life and the fact that we're all on the same team. And so that, you know, that kind of bled over into, I just took that same level of confidence from what I used to do in the Army. And now, you know, obviously we're not always on the same team with people who I meet, but people are just people. At the very least, they're going to say, I don't want to talk to you. And then that's okay. There's what, 7 billion people on this planet now. So like we can find, you're going to find somebody who's willing to talk to you. Maybe it's not that person and maybe it's not meant to be, but from an introverted standpoint, you know, I used LinkedIn a lot to help bridge that, like sending, you know, messages or commenting on people's posts or, you know, even finding emails and trying to do email introductions or asking people that I know to introduce me to somebody else. Those things were ways that helped me kind of expand my network. And I think it's working so far. I'm going to keep trying.
And I think that's kind of the beauty of LinkedIn is it allows you to start with that virtual networking and, you know, kind of building that relationship first. And I'm sure that you have not had a one-on-one conversation with every single one of your LinkedIn connections. Like maybe you build that relationship first before you turn that into, you know, a phone conversation or a face-to-face meeting. So I think that's important to know. Like, you know, I know networking isn't comfortable for everyone. You know, going to parties isn't comfortable for everyone. But sometimes you have to, if you want to move it forward, you've got to do things that aren't necessarily in your comfort zone, but you know will bring back a reward. And I mean, like you said, the worst they can say is no. Okay, let's move on to the next one, right? What do they say? No means it stands for next opportunity, right? So that's fine. It's like one left.
Look at it.
It's another that can bring on the next person. So, so I want to talk to you about your latest venture. Okay. So I hear, no, I don't hear because I've drank it many, many times. So but in the last year, you've launched a new venture. So you've got a new company. So tell us about how you launched your company and how you made the decision to get into kind of the coffee production and distribution business.
After I retired from the Army and I was hired by Parasense / Bacharach MSA, because, you know, that's the company I'm with now is MSA. You know, the dust kind of settled and I found my motor didn't stop, right? Like, so like I talked about when I transitioned, right? Like I was in some high pressure jobs before I left the Army, but internally my motor has never really stopped. And so I was kind of looking for, truthfully, I was looking for something to fill the void, right? I was looking for something that I wanted to do. And one of the things that I learned through LinkedIn is that there's this talk of, hey, let's grab a coffee. Let's do virtual coffee. You know, let's network over coffee, and everything involves coffee.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, well, that's interesting. And so that really sparked my idea of launching Aerial Resupply. And for me, you know, as a lifelong logistician, as somebody who comes from the support side of the Army, you know, I'm very much like it is inherently built into me, thanks to Uncle Sam, that I am to support other people. And that's my goal, right? And so, you know, what better way than to have a support-focused company that is focused on really the people who are providing the support to others to enable their day. So I launched coffee and I have a friend of mine who was already doing it and kind of spoke to him and, you know, learned a lot from him and decided to kind of venture out on my own.
So do you come up with your own flavors, your own marketing? Tell us like your role in the whole process.
Oh yeah. So I am a one person show, right? And so it's okay, right? I have people, you know, and so like, you know, from everything, from the marketing, from product development, from flavors, from packaging to how the website was built. From everything you've seen, that's something that I have taken on. I will say that YouTube has been my friend because I've learned a lot from YouTube. I'm very open about what I've learned and kind of how I'm learning it, you know, on social media. I don't have any qualms about talking about it on LinkedIn and really being open about the process, because I'm not the first person who will ever start a business. I won't be the last, and I'm not. And, you know, there are going to be other veterans who might see this who say, well, I really want to do something, but I don't know how. I never really started off as intending to be an example, but I think that I've become that just because of what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're kind of documenting your business journey on LinkedIn. Like pretty much daily, you share something you've learned along the way, or kind of an epiphany that you've had through business ownership, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the big lessons that you've learned just about launching a new venture?
I think for me, the biggest epiphany I had was you can plan all day long, but planning won't actually start it. So there was a point where, you know, before I actually pushed go on everything and told the world that I was starting something, I was continually catching myself going, well, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think this is ready. I don't think this is ready to go. And so one day I just said, I have to start. I have to push go, and I'm going to fix the problems as they come along. And because I knew in myself that I'm a brand new company, right? So I get some saving grace as an individual to make mistakes. And I knew I was going to make mistakes because it was just me. And so it was the best thing I ever did. And what I learned was after I pushed go, everything became easier. Like it became easier because I was fixing things and then it would work. And then it would work and I wouldn't have to come back to it. And so in some ways, it's like playing whack-a-mole where you're trying to fix problems and then they go away. But in other ways, you know, it's just once it started, it was so much easier. And so that was really my biggest epiphany, was just start. And everything else has kind of fallen into place.
You don't have to be perfect from the very beginning, right?
That's right.
And so, and you talk about the mistakes that you've made and the website changes that you've made and all of those different things, but I don't know how you did it, but let me say you make a damn good cup of coffee.
Well, I appreciate that.
I have to admit, like, I'm addicted to Christmas Kitty. I'm very sad that it's only a once a year thing. You know how I feel about it. Luckily, I still have a couple bags left in the cabinet.
There you go.
Yep. I even told you it's gotten my 17-year-old, almost to be a college student, addicted to coffee too. So she leaves with her little, cup of coffee every morning now. And it's good stuff. And if you haven't tried it yet, tell us how people can learn more about your company and about your flavors, and tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, you can learn more about me, my journey, either by following me on LinkedIn. You can go to my website, arielresupplycoffee.com. Each of the product flavors are I've outlined pretty much the three different flavors that I have. Like you said, Christmas Kitty is that was my daughter's venture into entrepreneurship as well, because I wanted to get her involved and she had a blast doing it. And I don't know, that might make a Christmas in July appearance. We'll see.
But that would be a gift to me.
we'll see. So, but and you can learn more about my company there. So I honestly, if anybody just wants to follow me on LinkedIn, like, you'll see how I build this, how I'm building this in public. Because I feel like you go back to the introverted conversation and you go back to like how I came out of the military. I've met more people who want to support what I'm doing and who have volunteered, or who have just even sent me a note and said, hey, Mike, what do you think of this? Because I'm building in public. Like, right. If I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't have that feedback from people. And so I value that. It's been tremendously helpful. And I've met so many awesome individuals who have supported me along the way and pointed me in the right direction. I don't think I could have done it otherwise.
And I think, just following your journey, it's not just about a coffee company, right? It's just about entrepreneurship in general. And, I find what you talk about to be really inspirational as I'm working on doing other things. And I'm like, I just got to do it. Like Mike says, I got to just do it. And so I think, you inspire people that, maybe I've been a business owner for many years, but I want to change what I'm doing. And so I think those are some things that just, you never know who you're going to talk to and speak to and inspire with what you put out there. So I just want to say thanks. And yeah. I really like your coffee too. Smells heavenly.
There we go. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, we will put a link to your LinkedIn profile and your coffee company in the show notes. And so you can find those on the website or in the notes for the episode itself as well. I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you sharing what you've learned along the way. And if you brought back a Christmas in July, you would make mine and my daughter's day. So I'm just going to keep pushing you. Like, where's the Christmas kitty?
That's okay. So. We'll see.
It's pretty good stuff. You know, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, so my daughter wants to be involved in this. So I'm looking at creating seasonal blends with my daughter's artwork, because that was a huge, that was something that was really important to her. And I want to teach her how to build a company, because, you know, I feel like, especially in the nowadays climate, and this is kind of going a little bit beyond what we talked about, but especially in today's climate, like, it's important for women to have examples as they move forward. I want my daughter, you know, obviously I'm not a woman, but my daughter will be able to see that she can enter the workplace, be a business owner, and do anything that she wants to. So I feel like it's important to do it for her as well.
I think that's great that you got her involved, right? So I try to do that same for my kids. And, you know, right. I've got, you know, one who has launched her own gaming server. And then I've got another one who has her own Etsy account and is selling things that she makes for $50, $60. And I think that's incredible to see your kids learn from you and have that courage inspired by right. you. So I commend you Absolutely. For that and getting her involved. Well, well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It was really good to finally talk to you face to face. And, you know, like I said, we've been connected for a long time, and I'm just going to tell you all again, like, his coffee is amazing. You got to try it. If you're a coffee drinker, you will love it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help you in your military transition, then I've done my job. Our goal is to get in the ear of as many active duty service members as possible. So please don't keep this podcast a secret. Share it with as many of your active duty service member friends and transitioning veterans who may be struggling with that process as possible. Please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and join us on our LinkedIn and Facebook communities to tell us what lesson you learned today.